Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, November 25th, 2013. Well, what would you do if you came face to face with the serial killer who murdered your niece and who God had told you to pray for? Well, that's the premise of Heaven's Prey, a new suspense novel by East Coast writer Janet Sketchley, who's on the phone with us tonight to talk about her new book. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Come and See from West Coast musician Carolyn Ahrens, her album Christmas and a Rational Season. Now to our interview with Janet Sketchley. Good evening, Janet.
Hi, Robert.
Let's go back to the beginning for our listeners. When did your interest in writing begin?
Oh, probably when I was a little kid. I used to hide in my room and write stories and pretend I was an author.
Now, when you were doing that, what did you ever have aspirations at that point to actually see something of yours published?
Oh, sure.
Okay, well, who were some of your early influences?
In terms of what I read or...
Yeah, first of all, let's start with the people that you read. Who were some of the people that you started reading?
Well, when I was a child, I grew up on Anne of Green Gables and The Black Stallion and, that sort of book.
Now, did that change over the years?
I kind of read in phases, I would say. So I started with those, and then the animal books, and then I hit sort of the Harlequin phase, and then I got into science fiction and Alistair MacLean and thrillers. So it was like I'd read a while in a genre and then move on to a new one.
Well, as you were going through that, was there any one genre that kind of piqued your interest and held you longer than any of the others?
It was either the thrillers or it was science fiction fantasy.
Right. Who are your favorite science fiction fantasy authors?
Oh, Timothy Zahn, hands down. Brandon Sanderson, Robert Jordan, Terry Neitz with Marcher Lord Press.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were looking at that, when did you sort of get to the point where you started thinking about being a writer and doing your own writing?
I lost it for a long time when I was writing papers in university sort of took the writing joy out of me. I didn't really come back to writing with the intention to be a published author. I had this story that I couldn't get out of my mind, so I started to write it to get it out. And I really, by that time, didn't believe that I could do anything with it or that it would go anywhere. I mean, who am I, just a little Nova Scotian writing a story? But I kept at it because it wouldn't let me go. And gradually along the way, I met, through the Word Guild and through Inscribe, I met other writers who helped me understand, yeah, it's okay to do this, and you just might get somewhere with it.
Well, who have been some of the people along the way, that not that you've just read, but the people that have actually inspired you as a writer? Who have been some of your influences in that area?
Trying to think that off the top of my head, I'm going to miss some really important people. I'm going to say my husband, just because he ratted me out and told people that I was a writer, so I'd have to go and practice writing. In the writing world, I just met so many good people. N.J. Lindquist through the Word Guild. Really, there's too many. I'm sorry.
Well, in looking at that and looking at all of that, and you said your husband sort of, you know, ratted you out and told people you were a writer and that. When did you get to the point yourself where you thought, yeah, I am a writer? When did that sort of aha moment come for you?
Probably after I had attended a few Write Canada conferences. I started to pick up on the fact that if you are writing, you are a writer. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have earned the credentials and say, oh, well, I am published. That's a whole different thing. So I would start to call myself a writer, but then if someone said, what did you write? Well, not much. So there was a lot of not having the confidence that what I was doing was worthy, and I think that's something a lot of writers struggle with.
When did you get to that point where you moved from being a writer to a published writer? Because that's sort of in some people's journey as writers, that's sort of their next phase. They've got to that point where they say, yes, I'm a writer, but hey, now I've actually had somebody who liked my stuff enough that they wanted to put it out into published form. When did that come for you?
That was with articles and short pieces, it's been quite a while, which isn't really a good number for you, but I'm sort of casting back, trying to remember how long it would have been. It's been at least 15 years.
And what was it like the first time you actually saw a piece of yours? What went through your mind when you saw a piece of yours in print that somebody else had published for you?
I'm old, Robert. I don't remember that far back. It was gratifying, though. I remember that much, and I remember there's a little bit of vindication almost, or affirmation, because like you said, somebody else has said, okay, I see value in this, and I will print it. So it does sort of endorse what you've been doing and encourage you to keep doing.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a really quick break here, and when we finish the break, we'll come back and talk to our guest, author Janet Sketchley. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Half a woman, half a child. Shepherds watch their flocks by night, guarding against danger. But suddenly there was a blinding light.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Do Not Be Afraid from Carolyn Aaron's Christmas and Irrational Season CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with writer Janet Sketchley. Janet, without giving way too much away, can you give us sort of a Reader's Digest version of the plot of Heaven's Prey?
A grieving woman. She's grieving her adult niece was attacked and killed by a serial killer, and in grieving for him, or grieving for her niece, and in her anger at him, she finds healing through praying for him. So this is fine. She thinks it's just for her own healing, but she ends up being abducted by this man. And is her faith going to stand up to this? What's God up to?
Well, and when you look at it, where did the whole story come from?
I got this idea one day. It's fine to pray for someone in prison, but what would you do if you actually met them?
You mentioned in the acknowledgments that your earliest notes for the novel go back about 20 years. What kept you going to write and to edit this book and keep it going for two decades?
Well, I didn't work nonstop at it either. It was a piecemeal project. But I think I came to really care for these characters, and I wanted to do my best for them. So every time I could learn something that would make the story better, that would bring them more to life, I would go back and do that. Normal people sort of close that story and start a new story, but I couldn't let them go. So like I said, every time I learned something better, I went back and added a new round to it.
Sort of as you were working on this and as you were going through it, I mean, you deal with a number of topics in there that are fairly heavy, you know, everything from sexual sadism to violent pornography to abuse. Why did you decide to go into those areas and places that some people would rather not even approach?
I would rather not approach them myself, and I'm amazed that this is what ended up with the story. I say it proves that God has a sense of humor. Because this is not the sort of thing that I'd easily pick up to read. I don't know, it's just who Harry was.
In terms of creating that character and developing that, what kind of research did you do as you were trying to develop? I mean, there are areas where you can see there's a tremendous amount of research. You talk about various sports car races and things like that, and sort of the detail that's there. What areas did you end up going into for research for this?
Well, for the racing, I'm a Formula One fan. So I just took what I had watched and what I had absorbed from watching years of racing. And I needed him to stay on the continent here in North America, so I sort of adapted some of that. And there were times when I had to use some internet research, and I got to go watch the movie Kart Racer when it came out years ago to get a feel for his karting days. That was the fun side.
But what was there were some areas where you went into that again, you look at, what did you do in terms of the research in those areas?
In the violence and that sort of area?
Yep.
I basically used my imagination. I picked up some interesting things from some of my early readers. They would say, oh, well, do you mean this kind of stuff or that? And then I just took some of the terminology they gave me and didn't ask them where they got the information. it just sort of grew, really. As everybody would sort of give their little bit of feedback, I'd hear, okay, yeah, that works. Or if I heard something in passing, it would sort of swirl away till I needed it, and it would come out.
What's been the reaction so far?
So far, it's been quite positive. It's a book I've been nervous about because I wasn't sure what the reaction would be. I don't want someone who's a victim or loves a victim. I don't want them to think that I'm promoting the villain or in any way minimizing the hurt. I'm just trying to say that God's love breaks the rules we make and he can save anyone. So I haven't had any negative reaction like that yet. I've had a couple of people say it really connected with them emotionally, and it's been a hard read, but they said it's been a good read. It's been worth it. I had one lady say just the other day, sometimes it was hard to keep reading, but it would have been harder to stop. So I'm glad it's connecting with people.
Looking at all of that and looking at everything that you've written in that, and as authors, we sort of find ourselves in some of those places. How did you sort of keep yourself centered as you were writing the stories, and even in terms of is it Ruth? I forget the character's name. In terms of pulling all of that together Ruth, sort of keeping yourself centered as you're writing some of the things that were going on.
That may be why it took me so long, and I would do it and then I would go back to it. The most difficult bits I first wrote at a very distant level. So I'd get them out there on the paper, but it wasn't like intense or anything that was going to disturb me. And people kept challenging me, no, go back and make it more real, make it more immediate. So it was sort of a building. And by then, I guess I kind of got used to it. So I managed not to traumatize myself anyway. But there were times when I just had to walk away. And there was quite a while where I just wanted to end it with a plane crashing into this cottage and killing everybody because I couldn't deal with it anymore.
What made you decide to keep going, though? What was it about the story and about where you saw the story was going that made you say, no, I have to continue this?
Well, I knew the end. I didn't know how I was ever going to get there or if I was going to get there, but I knew the end. And it comes back to what I was saying about believing that God really is willing to save the worst of these. And I think it was that I wanted to say this about his character. And I just really cared about these people. I couldn't leave them unfinished. That sounds weird, I know, but it's true.
In talking to authors and interviewing authors in that in the past and even working on a novel myself, you get to the point where you have to get that story out there. You have to finish the story because you're doing a disservice. In a sense, the characters become real to you. They're not just people on a page. They're actually people that you're living with in your head. So I've heard others say that. And did you ever sort of find yourself as you were doing that all of a sudden the character started doing things that you didn't expect but were totally in keeping with where the story was going?
Yes. I'm afraid you're going to ask me when because I'm not remembering quite for this story, but I know there have been moments like that where you just say, oh, wow, that explains it.
Right. Well, what I want to do is I want to take one final break and come back and finish our conversation with Janet Sketchley, author of Heaven's Prey. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Come down to the manger, see the little stranger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. the Prince of Peace. We'll start turning, torches start burning, and they hope the wise men journey from the east. Must be tonight. A shepherd on a hillside, over my flock I abide. On a cold winter night, a band of angels.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Christmas Must Be Tonight from the Christmas and Irrational Season CD by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with author Janet Sketchley. Janet, you've sort of been talking with us, and I know you've got at the back of the book, you've got a little bit of a study guide and that in there. What are you hoping that people are going to walk away knowing after they've read Heaven's Pray?
Whatever happens, Jesus will be there. That's based on, that's what I say to myself when I'm afraid about something, and it's true. But I also want people to hopefully think a little more about, well, the power of prayer and actually praying for people, and just be aware that people can change, that God can change people, not to write anyone off.
Now, I know it took you about 20 years to finally get everything out and get it down there. How long did it actually take you to get to the point where you had a publisher ready to take this?
Jews Now Publishing accepted the manuscript this June. So it's been a very short window. They're a new and up-and-coming publisher, and so they didn't have like a 2-3 year wait that the larger houses have. So it's been a wild ride.
Now, if someone's interested in learning a little bit more about you, learning a little bit more about Heaven's Pray, how can they do that?
Probably the best way is to come visit my website, which is janetsketchley.ca, JANETSKETCHLEY.ca. I've got information about me, about the book, and my regular blog, which is devotionals and reviews and that sort of thing.
And what's next on your agenda?
Well, I'm revising a sequel. It's not really a sequel. It's a companion story. It's book 2 in the Redemption's Edge series. It's going to be called Secrets and Lies, and it is another redemption story, not quite as difficult. The characters aren't in quite that hard a spot to come out of, but it's the villain's sister's story, actually, so there's a connection.
And any idea when that's going to be, when you're hoping to have that out in the public?
That'll be sometime in 2014. We're still talking about the date.
Great. Well, Janet, thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, Robert, and thank you for playing Carolyn Ahrens. I love her music.
Well, I thought it would be a nice twist doing, interviewing someone from the East Coast and playing somebody from the West Coast. So, and I love her Christmas stuff. Well, thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Janet Sketchley. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, be sure to look for our archive programs on our website at www.selawministries. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries. That's selawministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, SELAW13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.